Amen. Thank the Lord. Well, thank God for another opportunity to share with you all this morning. And we'll just open up in a word of prayer by His grace. Precious Lord Jesus, we thank you for another opportunity, Lord, to stand before your people, Lord Jesus, and just to share, Lord, more of your word, more about you, Lord Jesus. And we just invite you to bless this day. Bless your children, Lord Jesus. We certainly appreciate you, Lord. Remember all the needs, Father. Remember this entire day, Lord, as we come to your presence, Lord Jesus. Strengthen us, Lord God, and bless us. We commit this day, the Sunday school teaching, Lord, and the rest of this day into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. All right. Well, we will continue with Financial Jubilee. I'm assuming that everybody still needs money, making money, working, saving. So we're going to continue. I think when we're all debt-free and no longer need money, then we may not have to worry about Financial Jubilee anymore. But until then, we will keep sharing more and more. And certainly Financial Jubilee, as I said before, you know, this is not books and theories. This is a life lived. You know, after God started showing me this several years ago now, you know, it has really transformed my life. I live it every day. My kids know it. My wife know it. Trying to be a steward of what God has placed in front of me to manage. And money is just a small thing. It's just a reflection of many other things around us, my kids, my family, my job, anything that God gives you to manage. We want to manage it as stewards. But financial, it just gives you something that you can put your hands on. Anybody, from the youngest to the oldest, you can put your hands on it. And we know Jubilee, when the trumpet sounds, you can go free if you want to go free. It's a choice. So I'm just challenging you this morning that it's up to us how we take this. It all sounds good, right? Until you're outside, you're at the store shopping, you're thinking about a vehicle, your kid's thinking about this or that. It all sounds good until you start applying it. So I pray that you can take it with you as you go. And remember, it's not how much you have or how little you have, but it's about managing what you have. That's what this is about. You can have $2, but you got to make decisions on what you're going to do with that. And that's what God is trying to see, how faithful you are with that little bit. Does he want to flip to the next slide? And I think the critical piece behind it, brothers, you can go to the next slide. This scripture really stands out. It says, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Or another way of saying that, another version. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And I believe for sure, no doubt, this word being preached, that's the true riches that we have here. But God in his word is saying something that if you can't be trustworthy in worldly wealth, money management, who will trust to you these true riches? And that's certainly what we're hearing, the statue of a perfect man. Those are the true riches of God that he has for us, his word to reveal it to us. But he's saying, I'm not going to give you that because he's the one that's doing the evaluation to determine if you're faithful. I'm not. He's the one that's looking at that. How faithful are you with the little things that you have, your money? Because if you can do that, if you can learn to say no, if you can hold back and have that self-control and that character in handling money, then he's saying, yeah, I'm confident you can handle more. You can handle more those true riches. So we talked a little bit about last time many of the problems, the symptoms that we went through, worried about money, stressed out, trying to handle it, trying to get it, trying to save it, all the things that we deal with money. But one key thing, if you go to the next slide, brothers, go ahead, click next. Go and click next, brothers. The question we got to ask, is there a difference? So when we look at the world, is there a difference with how you're approaching money management? Is it the same like the world? I mean, can you stand with someone in the world and you got the same issues, the same problems, the same concerns, and something's not just right? Because when we look at Christ, he didn't have the same concerns. He did not. He did not walk through life just like the world with money management or anything like that. He was totally different. He trusted God. He knew God would supply. He knew where the fish was. And God supplied. So he didn't walk around with the stress. He didn't walk with the, I got to earn it. I got to get it. It's driving him. Everything he's thinking about. No, he did not. So there must be a difference with the way we're handling money and that of the world. We know that our morals should be different. We should be living different. Our girls should be different. Our guys should be different. But what about your pocketbook? What about your wallet? Is that different? That's the question. Let's go to the next. So when I think about money management and what I think about it, this scripture really, well, this quote and the power of decision, I'm going to take my time and read through this because it just really was amazing. My wife and I was listening to this sermon. She was listening to it separately, and she came down and told me about this. I said, my God, this is such a blessing. So Moses went forward, packing a stick, and we found out the Red Sea opened, caused a mighty wind followed that fire, the light of God. When man walks in the light, then the winds follow. Jesus said, tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And they waited until there came from heaven a sound of a rushing mighty wind. They walked in light till the wind began to blow. Amen. Just step in the light tonight, you outside of Christ. The winds will come back again like they did was on the day of Pentecost. Just keep walking in the light. It'll separate the things that was hindering you from one side to the other. Notice the children of Israel walked across the Red Sea, not only in the mud, they were on dry ground, walking light. That's the trouble with the church today. You're so loaded down, you can't walk light. Got too many things on you, too much hanging around. Paul said, let us lay aside every weight that we may walk light. Every weight and the sin that does easily beset us, that we might run with patience the race that's set before us. Look into the author and finisher, Christ. Walk in the light, light-footed. Amen. That's what it's about. You know, if we can get these things off of us, these weights, these pulls of this world, this world, then we can walk in this light, light-footed. Amen. Have that step, have that bounce in your walk when it comes to this word, not burdened down and heavy and debt laden and not sure what to do about this decision and money. And especially some of you that are older, you got kids, you got adult children now, you got those coming up to be adult children, and they need to know these things as well. You know, we have to know and be able to tell them and have that strength inside of us, that character, that we see character more important in their life than just saying yes to them. Okay? And those are some of the things you got to deal with. You know, hey, Dad, can you co-sign for me? Dad, please. I'm going to pay it back. Now, my son, he's not doing this. He knows better. But those are things I've dealt with family members, okay? And you're like, oh, my God, I'm the only one that can rescue them out of this situation. Nope. No, there's a reason why. But if you can look through and say, no, you need the character. That's more important to you, son or daughter. You have to have the character. And I can't hurt you by giving. But I can help you. I can help you learn how to fish. I can set things up for you. But you're going to have to walk through this. Because I see your character as more important. And I don't want you to be heavy in this life's journey. You have to be light-footed. So God can deal with you. And they can get that character and learn how to manage this little thing called money. Then God can start revealing more to them. And he will. But we have to have that ourselves. We have to know how important it is. Go to the next. So we talked about the problem. Here's a little bit more on that. The answer, of course, understanding the answer. This is Crown Financial Ministry, and this is one of the ministries out there that helps people. Certainly, as I was going through it, and like I said, we lost almost everything that seemed like we had. And, you know, I started seeking God, like, Lord God, something's wrong. That's what I said. Something's wrong. I've been paying my tithes. I thought God was going to bless me. Miraculously, as I said before, I knew. I said, God gonna bless my business. Oh my goodness, they're gonna be thriving. That's how I'm gonna get that new vehicle. God gonna bless my business. Oh man, it's gonna be all good. No, that didn't work out that way. God had other plans, and this is part of his plan, because I wouldn't be here now if we didn't lose all of that money. By his grace, I wouldn't be sharing this with you. It says most of the symptoms of financial problems that families face in today's society, business failures, foreclosures, bankruptcies, out-of-control debt, two-job families, and divorce can be traced to a central problem of ignoring God's financial principles as recorded in His Word. God's financial principles and instructions are not complicated or hard to understand. They were designed to free His people from financial burdens and not to bind them with unattainable sets of do's and don'ts. Amen. All these problems, all these things that we see, all can be traced to ignoring God's principles for us. Look at that. Foreclosures, bankruptcies, out of control debt, two job families, divorce, all these things. And it's getting harder and harder, my brothers and sisters. Certainly for the younger ones, it's harder and harder. You see so much and they have so many things out there, so many choices. My goodness, if you're looking for a new vehicle, they have about 10 different models of the same vehicle. You can get the L version, the LE, the XLE, the Platinum XLE. My goodness. And it starts from the base, $30,000. By the time you get through, it's like $90,000. My goodness. And they have a way to pay for that. All you got to do is sign right here. That's it. You can roll out with it. And the world knows that, and they're marketing that. They're after us. The devil has a plan. Believe me, he has a plan. He knows. If he can get us burdened down, he has one foot already on you. Some of the key principles we talked about, just want to keep repeating these. God owns all, the 10% and the 90%. Never forget that. It's not just the tithes that we're paying. It's the 90% as well. He's just given that to you to manage. That's it. What are you going to do with that? You got to manage His resources diligently. You got to. You have to be organized. You got to take the time. I know that's a hard, difficult thing. A lot of times people say, well, you know what? I'm not a numbers person. I'm not this or that. Guess what? The owner, he is a numbers person. He is. So he knows every penny. He knows everything that comes across your path. So we have to be organized. And you can do that in your own way. Start writing something down somewhere. Start thinking about when you're going to spend. Start thinking about those things and think about it's God. He knows. But think about it. That's what we had to do. I had to pause and really reflect. And that's when God started opening all this up. Don't waste your money. It's part of your time. You know, my daughter, we bought her a jacket, and you know, I bought it, happy to buy it for her, you know, and a couple of days later she came back and said, well, it was about 30 days later. And Alicia brought it in and said, well, she's not gonna wear it, she doesn't want it. I'm like, okay, there's a 30 days up on this thing. Looked at it, was one day late. I'm like, does she know? This is an hour of her dad's time, life. She can't waste this thing. But that's it. It's an hour of my life. If you don't want it, you tell me right away you don't want it. But by God's grace, we called. They took it back, so I was happy about that. But that's how you got to look at it. It's an hour of her dad's life, my life, whatever I spend. If I'm wasting, it's my life. You're going to work every single day, putting in those hours. That's your time. Right. You're getting in return for that time some money. Right. You waste it. That's your life, what you're spending on. Right. So watch that. Delayed gratification, learning to wait. That's in everything. We have to learn to wait on God. Reading just a scripture of David as he was getting older. Many of you probably remember the story. And before he had crowned Solomon, or announced Solomon to be king, his brother jumped in there. His brother said, hey, dad's old. He hadn't said anything about the kingship. I'm next in line, I believe. Absalom and the other brothers were dead. He's like, you know what? I'm in. There's no need for me asking. I'm going. There's no need to wait. And he went and claimed that kingship ahead of time, ahead of time. And he had his parties. He brought everybody. He was celebrating, having a good time. Good time. But he didn't invite Solomon. He didn't invite the prophet. Because he knew something was just not right with them. They wait. They do things right. We ain't going to invite them. We're going to go forward. And they didn't wait. Of course, that gave Nathan, that prophet, that time to get with Bathsheba and say, hey, go talk to David. Let's do this thing right. Ask David. David, you did mention you were going to make Solomon king. Is that still good? If so, we're about ready. David says, sure. Crowned him, did it right, waited. And of course, you know that cost that brother his life later on, and he was clinging to the altar for forgiveness. But he didn't know how to wait. He didn't know how to wait. Maybe it started very simple when he got things that he didn't know how to wait for. So by the time he came to this very, very important decision in his life, he thought he could do the same thing. So we got to learn to wait. Wait on God. Wait on him to supply. As I said before, you know, you look at these vehicle prices and it's like, it's scary. I mean, I'm telling you, $80,000, $90,000 for like regular vehicles. I'm like, this is crazy. But you can pay it off in 6 years, this sign right here. Yeah. So now you think about if you wait. You wait. But see, what we challenge with is like, I can't do it. I can't save $80,000. That's impossible. That's what the world tells you. So you can sign right here. There's an easy way. No. God wants you to build that character. Right. He's never saying you can't do that or you can't get that or you can't have that, but he's saying to do it God's way. But I guarantee you, you get $90,000 in your hands, you're going to think very differently whether you're going to put all that character building that you've built for 3 to 5 years of major sacrificing and everything that you're getting in, you're putting aside for this bucket of a new vehicle that you want. You think about the character you're going to get from that. Oh my God, by the time you get 10,000, you're like, oh Lord, I can't believe I got 10,000. This is amazing. 20,000, Lord, wow, I've set this aside. 30,000, my goodness, I can't believe it. 50,000, hold on, do I want that vehicle? 60,000, oh God, Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, should I be doing this? 90,000, no, I don't think I want that vehicle. No, you know, a 5,000 vehicle looking really nice right now. Amen. By the grace of God, and I still have 75,000 left. Amen. My goodness. That's it. And you got something worth so much more, character. Wow. That's what God is trying to get to us, that character. But then you take that and you apply it to his word. It's the same thing. No different. He wants to see that we have control. We got it. We know what we can do, but we have to wait on God. Lord, I got this money. Is it your will? Yep. Father God, if it is, then Lord, thank you. If not, thank you, Lord Jesus. Because that's the power and the character that we're going to need to handle all that God wants to give us. Right. And my goodness, if we're going to have power to raise dead saints out of the grave, it's going to take some character. See, we look at things just, you know, everything is spiritual, but what about the natural things? What about if you have that power and someone's spouse is coming to you saying, raise my husband or raise my daughter for me? You got the power. Oh, my God. I'm dying without it. And we don't know, then what are we going to do? So God knows what we can handle. Amen. But if we can do these simple things, then he knows already he can trust us by his grace. Amen. Go to the next. Principle 5, avoid debt like the curse. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrow with it. I always think of that. You know, so when someone comes to you and they've taken out a hefty loan and they're like, thank God, this is a blessing. Before you say amen, say, okay. Okay, because there shouldn't be any sorrow with what God is adding to you. Shouldn't be. And many times the things that we get in the world that we think gets us rich, there's many, many sorrows, there's arguments, there's divorce, everything that we talked about that happens. And so you can kind of start understanding what is God in and what is God not in. Of course, we know the ant. Go to the ant, watch the ant. The ant is always working, gathering, preparing, being diligent. We can do that. Our lives are constantly changing every single day, going to different seasons of our lives. And if we can start out on this, the young, I mean, I challenge all the young people, wherever you are in your life, oh my, if you can apply these principles to your life, wow, you will see the hand of God. Of course, the best investment is giving to the kingdom of God. Your return is waiting at home in heaven. And we know the scripture, Acts 20:35, it says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And that's something we got to work on. That's something we all got, something I got to work on, where you really feel that blessing. You know, somebody give you something, it's like, thank you, Lord. They, oh, I'm blessed. The Bible's saying it a little bit reversed. It said it's more blessed for you to give than to receive. So those are the things that we have to just keep working through. Contentment is learned. I'm going to read 1 Timothy 6. I really, really like that, this reading. 1 Timothy 6:6-11. And the scriptures are just full of all of God's principles that he's laying out for us. Amen. By the grace of God. Got that. The right scripture here. I believe that's 1 Timothy. As my pages get stuck together here. Okay. Second Timothy. But as godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. Is it First Timothy? Why am I not seeing that? Okay. Let me know if someone has that. Okay, here we go. 6:6, yeah, that's right. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world and is certain we can carry nothing out. Very plain. And having food and raiment, let us therefore be content, therewith be content. Now look at that principle. He just said if you got food and clothes, that's where you start. Be content, right there. You know, if we start getting ourselves caught up beyond that, that's where the devil's able to set in. Now, he's not saying, he never said that we can't have all these other things, but he's saying keep that contentment to start off with. Know that you're okay if you got food and you got clothes. Start right there. If you got that, then you're fine. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of evil, of all evil. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight. Lay hold on eternal life. Oh my, you see how he's just taking that word and telling us, yes, food and clothes, you got that. There are certain things that you definitely need, but be content. Don't pursue. Pursue these other things, which we already know he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, I'm telling you, that is difficult to do. It's difficult when you look at all these things and our minds are worried about this. You're worried about your kids. You're worried about providing. You're worried about security. You're worried about what you're going to do when you retire. You're worried about all of these things that come to your mind. But God is saying, be content. He already knows what you need. Now, you have to take all of his word. That's why it's being diligent with what you have. Thinking about what you're spending. See, it doesn't mean that we'd be content and I'm not going to be diligent. I'm going to spend whatever I want because God is going to take care of me. No, it's being all of his word, being a wise steward, all of these principles. And that will keep us on that right path. In 2 Chronicles, I want to show you how important it is to stay with the word. Go to the next slide. So this is King Solomon, and we knew Solomon, and we know how he asked God when he started out for wisdom, and God said, I'm going to give you that, and I'm going to give you everything else as well. And as we get through Solomon's life, we see Solomon passed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom, and all the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom that God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver and vessels of gold. And the king made silver in Jerusalem as stones. And they brought unto Solomon horses out of Egypt and out of all lands. Wow. So we're seeing Solomon as he's growing in power and wealth and godly blessings, you know, and it's hard to believe that, you know, as I look at us in America, Solomon didn't have all the things that we have, believe it or not. We got any restaurant, any meal, any kind of desire that you want. If you want some Indian food, you can go get some Indian. You want Chinese, you can get Chinese. You want some burgers, you can get some burgers. Whatever we want, we have all these things right at us. And if you, whatever you want, you can sign, get credit, you can do whatever you want. So we have a lot of these things that we can acquire as well. But during those times, of course, he had silver and gold and horses out of Egypt. Now, when you look at that, nothing jumps out to you right away. Okay, well, yeah, thank God for blessing them. Let's go to the next scripture. Prior to that time, when the children of Israel were coming out, this is what God told them. And this whole chapter in Deuteronomy, it's like the section is talking about when you get a king and some instructions for the king. He says, when thou art coming to the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. So it should be somebody that God choose. Now king, but he shall not multiply horses to himself. What? Nor cause the people to return to Egypt to the end that he should multiply horses. God said, king, when you come in there, don't get a lot of horses. Don't go down to Egypt and get horses. And you see Solomon doing exactly that, collecting these horses from Egypt. That's why God put that scripture in there. He got a lot of horses from Egypt. You would read that and be like, well, what, okay. But God had told him in the word, don't do that. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself. Solomon, you don't need 1,000. Don't do it. If you do it, your heart will turn away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Don't do that, Solomon. That's how simple it is. But he said, when you do, when you sit upon the throne of the kingdom, this is what you should do. You should write him a copy of the law in a book out of that which is before the priests of the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. Obviously, Solomon didn't do that because he didn't read this section. That he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of the law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. That's what God wanted him to do. Hold on. Hold on to that word. That's it. And you see how simple these principles are in his word. That's how easy it was for Solomon. Don't get horses. God has already told us his word. Avoid debt. Manage diligently. All those principles that we talked about, those are things in God's word that we can apply. And it's many, many, many more that we can hold on to. So take that, my brothers and sisters. Take that word of God, this GPS, as he told Solomon, hold on to it, keep it, read it. Take these things that we're learning from God and apply it to your life. God bless you all.